I Squared Wrestling Podcast.
I'm back. I'm better than ever.
He's not.
Face facts.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Breaking news in the world of professional wrestling. Eric Bischoff leaves his position as executive director of SmackDown Live and he's replaced by Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah. And I listened to the 83 weeks and I texted you last night. I said he's just uprooted his whole family.
I know.
It feels like about 4 weeks ago. Yeah. Poor guy. But anyway, we are back.
And it's a new format. It's a wrestling news format. So today we're going to be talking about
Eric Bischoff. We're going to hit all the headlines of Raja.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric Bischoff leaves.
Yep.
Pritchard in. SmackDown Live
Bischoff
ratings.
Bischoff out.
We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're back. It's the A Squared Circle Wrestling Podcast. It's back with a vengeance.
It certainly is. Back to our regularly scheduled programming of a Wednesday.
And it's one of these things, isn't it, Andy, that we got popular upon our demise, didn't we?
Yeah, the overwhelming amount of tweets, probably if you search it, about 12.
I mean, there's
12,
at least five.
Five, okay. I was being a bit optimistic. But yeah, it was. We had plenty of nice feedback.
Please come back, chance.
When's the next one?
Yeah, I actually did get pulled over at Royal Quest. I got pulled over a few times by people.
Okay.
Saying,
but not the police.
Not the police. No, fans in the audience.
Okay.
Oh, I love the podcast. When's it coming back? What's happening
really?
To the podcast?
Oh, that's nice.
Didn't tell you that one. Didn't want to encourage you.
No. Didn't want to get my hopes up.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, we are back.
By popular demand.
Yes.
I think that's important. In fact, this episode can be called Back by Popular Demand.
And also, so while we're talking about this, one of the reasons why we stopped this is because we need to... We need people to help spread the word, you know, just like every other podcast. Colt Cabana said it every week, but we need those reviews and we need those ratings on the iTunes. So, you know, obviously the more people that listen, we're not looking to get rich off this podcast. We just want people to listen.
Well, it'd be nice to make some money though, wouldn't it?
It would, but somebody once told me you'll never make money off a podcast.
Who told you that?
Dan Barnstall.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not really...
He did tell me though, Alex Shane offered to buy him out and give him a full-time job as a Wrestle Talk podcaster, something
like
that.
Well, there you go. So if he'd taken that money, then he would have been...
Yeah.
Right.
Something like that,
not
anyway.
Really. Dan Barnstall is not the person that I'd be taking...
podcast advice off.
Podcast
advice. But he listens, so God bless you, Dan.
Yeah.
Much love.
And we're going to prove you wrong, Dan.
Yeah.
Okay?
We're going
to make our millions out of his podcast. And I believe we were close before, but, you know, it just... fell off a cliff, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, we tried changing days. Wednesday got really busy.
That was your fault, wasn't it?
Wednesday got busy at the school.
You changing days was... Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what they say. Like, when you're on a network TV show, or a TV show, when they start changing your days, start changing your scheduling, you know the end is nigh.
That's trouble.
So, happened with TNA.
Happened with World of Sport.
Happened with World of Sport.
Yep.
And every single time you change day, you try to paint a pretty picture and say... moving day is better for us. Moving time slot is better for us. The reality is the weekend was never better for us, was it?
No.
So,
it wasn't.
It wasn't better for anyone else either. People enjoy it on their morning commute to work and, you know.
Yeah, we feel now better than ever when there's more podcasts than ever. We're going to throw ourselves back in the game.
Well, I think, but a lot of podcasts have also given up.
That's true.
So,
yeah, like you said, we are back with a vengeance and back by popular demand. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Absolutely. So, Andy, what have you been up to since the 1st of June?
Was that when it was, 1st of June?
Apparently so, yeah. So, today's episode, before we get there, today's episode, we are just going to have a chit-chat. We're gonna catch up with our lives, see where we're at, and we're gonna lay the path for future episodes of the A Squared Circle Wrestling Podcast, topics that we will discuss in future weeks. A whole plethora of topics to discuss, and obviously as well as events in our life which just happen. But we're making the content of the podcast is making itself on a week by week basis, and there's so many stories. I hate to, you know, be like, here's what you could have won in the old bullseye deal, you know.
Yeah.
But here's what you could have won. There's so much stuff which has happened between podcasts.
Yeah.
Which
but even from the last one, there was somewhat of a gap, wasn't there? Maybe even just a few weeks. So
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think we've done a string of any in a long time.
We did get inconsistent.
And
yeah.
we have got one in the can already.
We do, yeah. Yeah. Which we'll spring on you when we can't be bothered to record on Wednesday. But that bodes well, doesn't it? Because it just means there's going to be a week which would be missed, which isn't going to be missed.
Yeah.
So
so what have I been up to since the 1st of June, you said?
Yeah, I was going to clarify the date, but 1st of June, we'll call it that.
Yeah. I've been doing all sorts. Very busy summer.
Do you know what's happened?
Go on.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but it was 1st of June.
Yeah.
So there was the AEW Double or Nothing review was the last episode that we conducted on this podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you get a bollocking from Tony Khan, did you?
Yeah, that's why we got. That's why.
But we stopped.
Yeah. So that was the last episode we've done. But since that time, AEW's actually turned into a proper wrestling promotion.
Yes.
And the Wednesday Night Wars are here.
Uh-huh.
And SmackDown's moved to Fox on a Friday.
Yep.
Eric Bischoff's been employed and fired.
Yep.
All that stuff has happened in such a short amount of time, and we've still not sorted out Brexit. All in that short amount of time. Do you know what I mean?
I kind of feel Brexit's probably a little bit tougher to organise than.
I don't know.
Putting NXT on a TV channel, but there you go.
But yeah. So, what have you been up to since 1st of June?
Yeah, busy summer. Took the family to Florida, my most favourite place in the world. Went to Disney World.
No, it's your most favourite place in the world and not your family's most favourite place.
Well,
in the world.
I get mixed signals. So when I've now taken Finley. I think I've said this. No, we say this
you
so much.
You forced him to come.
No, so Finley's not even 10. He's been 3 times.
Spoiled little.
It took me till I was 23 to go once.
And he doesn't even want to go.
He does want to go. He loves it. He loves Animal Kingdom. There's a safari. There's animals. He's very an outdoorsy boy. So he goes gardening with granddad. He mows the lawn. But Poppy, I'm trying to get into Frozen wrestling toys. Yeah. So anyway, she loved it. But she's probably a bit young. But she was free, so it didn't matter because she was under 2. Yeah, I've already costed it up. We only went for 1 week, which is a huge mistake. We got nothing done.
What makes you think you're going to get more done in a...
2 weeks. We go 2 weeks next year.
But you've never survived two... Like, so 2 times previous to that, you've been to Disney. You've gone home early.
No. So I went one time with Ian Logan, 2007. I was right in the middle of the Chris Benoit murders.
Oh, so you had to rush home.
No, I didn't rush home. I didn't. I stuck it out the 2 weeks. But it was an interesting time, though, because obviously we watched... What did you say?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's just a throwaway comment. I was being horrible.
Yeah, I remember being in Planet Hollywood, and someone who shall not be named texted me, just said, Benoit dead. So then... and then Luke Betts, LT Summers, texted me that night going, looks like he did it. So that all came out that day.
And we've never known how Luke knew that before everyone else.
That's right, yeah. I always think that's really up for debate, is how much did the WWE know when they're airing their...
Well,
tribute show.
You can watch it, can't you? And well, obviously you can't watch it on the WWE Network. But
no,
I'm sure it's on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
But like, if you watch back all the promos, you can.
Some
start
people
to,
knew.
You can
yeah.
start to play detective, can't you?
Yeah,
as
sure.
to who knew and who didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was the first time. Second time I went with now a long term, thank God, ex girlfriend. Stuck it out the 2 weeks. The third time I went, lasted 1 day and then got violently ill. Like, I was literally shivering in bed. So I came home early. I was literally laid in bed for 6 days trying to recover. So I came home early then. That cost me thousands that holiday on 1 day.
Yeah.
I think I must have caught a bug on the plane.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. And
for anyone who knows, when Andy's ill, like, I mean, core.
That's the end. Yeah, I can't do anything. And the next time
didn't
I went...
You didn't have Cuprofen with you, though, did you? That was
no,
a
I
mistake.
Didn't. No, I did not. And I didn't know what paracetamol was in the States, but I now know it's Tylenol.
Could you not have just Googled it?
I was too ill. Too ill. And Lindsay didn't care. She was just off with Finn. So she didn't care. She was having a great time without me. The following time we came home a few days early because it was bang on Christmas. We were due to come home Christmas Eve. And we were just kind of like missing everyone, but mainly the dog. So we were like, let's come home for Christmas. And then we have not been since then. Which
so
is when we
so
went
the point
days.
I made still stands. The previous 2 times you went to Disney, you were not able to.
Oh, yeah, but my
weeks.
Point wanted to be that the first 2 times I went, we stayed the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, when you were young.
But now
fun.
There's Star Wars land. You know, I'm not like one of the diehard Star Wars fanatics, far from it, but like I have a fascination with Star Wars, and Star Wars land is now open. Of course, I booked the holiday to go the end of July to beginning of August. Star Wars land in Florida doesn't open till the end of August. So I cocked that up badly.
Unlucky.
Yeah.
But you had a nice time.
I did have a lovely time, yeah. Very lovely time. Saw my friend the villain. Saw his dog.
Winston the villain.
Saw his lovely apartment. Had a lovely time. Even spent some time with my family. I seem to spend more time with Marty, but there you go.
Did you see any other wrestlers while you were out there?
I saw loads, didn't I? It was Marty's birthday party. There's a video went around.
Did you get any autographs?
No. Got a few selfies. No, I didn't really.
$20 each.
Yeah. Yeah, there goes Marty's mate.
You going to drop any names or are you just going to...
Who was there? Jimmy Havoc was there. Spud was there. Ricochet was there.
AEW, NXT, WWE, mixing confirmed.
That's it, yeah. Who else? Oh, Aleister Black was there. All the trainees were impressed anyway.
Good.
Yeah.
I just thought like the audience might get a kick about you telling us about some of the people that were there, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I'm trying to think who else was there.
Keep it guarded, keep it close to your chest if
you
want.
I don't think this is a secret. The girl Ricochet's going out with, she was on American Ninja Warrior, Casey.
Yeah.
She was there. And I had a nice burger. That was about it. Lovely, lovely catch up with Spud.
Hell of a story.
Who's actually pretty jacked now, Spud.
Drake Maverick.
Drake Maverick, yeah.
He's Spud pretty who?
Yeah, Spud who? Rockstar Spud from TNA.
Never heard of him.
No. He's pretty jacked, honestly.
Talk to me about Drake Maverick and we're talking.
Yeah, okay, Drake Maverick was pretty jacked now.
Did he have the 24/7 championship with him or was that between reigns?
No, I don't think...
That's something that he's done very well with that I think he's often overlooked. You know, he's always been someone who's been able to make something of something very little.
Yeah.
Do you think for one second, and I may be wrong, I've not spoken to him about it, I don't know, but like, I would just assume that WWE were not like, go and make your own videos, go and get this
yeah,
done.
Yeah, that is true, but he did do that. He did that a lot before even, I think that's probably one of the reasons they might have signed him in the first place, because someone, somewhere, might have appreciated the extra mile he goes to with his social media.
He always puts in the effort.
Yeah, like that thing he was doing before he went to 2002 Spud.
Yeah,
knocked
right.
himself out of the gym or something. And,
yeah.
You know. And I did the ring on a show where he helped me with the ring, like to keep that alive. It was one of the South, at the 1865 Club. Wasn't one of your shows, but it was whoever ran it before.
So, I think he's a fine example that anyone can... Any aspiring wrestler can look towards. He's reinvented himself multiple times, and many people had written him off. Like, from the very start of his career, he was written off for being too small.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, who'd have thought Spud, who was from Spudleyville, who wore, like, a pair of Dudley Boys
Spike
glasses.
Spike Dudley, wasn't he?
Yeah, like, I remember seeing his name. So I come on, when I very first started, we were all dead keen to kind of get out and wrestle. And we want to wrestle for Brawl, which was a... British
Real
Attitude Wrestling League. We want to wrestle for Brawl. Remember Mark's I've been there.
Can I just backtrack? So you were there, you were going, we want to wrestle for Brawl. That was your dream.
It wasn't my dream. It was
little
just like,
did you know that one day you would become the lowest drawing Brawl champion.
Within 4 years. Years later.
That's a hell of a journey.
I was very impressed. Very proud of myself for that. And so we all wanted to wrestle for Brawl. But we didn't really want to wrestle. We just wanted to wrestle for anyone. And Mark was saying, no, Brawl's terrible. You don't wrestle for them. Obviously, he's far more vulgar than that. But anyway, Spud. I remember going on their website and seeing this guy called Spud. And who am I to comment? But I remember thinking, who's it? Spud? Like, this just seems like a tribute act. But there you go. Now he's got his first action figure on the shelves. So good luck to the boy. Well done.
Did you ever have a TNA action figure?
No.
Oh. I can just picture one for some reason.
No, maybe, you've made it up.
Maybe it's just in my collection in my head.
No, he did not.
These are the toys that I'd like to own.
Yeah. You can get Drake Maverick one now. Looks like a member of the Shield.
I'll get one.
Yeah.
Why does he look like a member of the Shield?
Because he was when he was with AOP, the Authors of Pain.
I didn't think you'd know because
of course.
You pretend you're one of these people who pretend to watch WWE. And you don't.
Yeah. No, I do watch a lot of wrestling though.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was my summer. Busy summer wrestling, busy summer at school, we did the kids club. We had a great time. Best kids show we've done. I think it's like the third or fourth one. Everyone was outstanding. And you had a busy summer as well.
Did I?
Well, you had Royal Quest to prepare
yeah.
for.
Yeah.
Summer Sizzler.
Yeah. I did. The whole summer's a bit of a blur, really.
Yeah. You had Selzy every week.
Yeah. Summer is a bit of a blur. It really is. Like when that time period for me, I was working all the time.
Yeah, those 6 weeks, those kids' holidays just go so quick now.
Yeah, I remember like, when you think about when you're little, those 6 weeks are like they're just so long, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like a lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah, and by the end of it, you can't wait to get back to school. Even though like at the start of it, you're like, yes, no school. By the end of it, like you can't wait. You're just bored because it's so long. But like, I think it is. I don't know, because there's always theories. There's many different theories about time and whatever. And, like, obviously, there is the idea that there is a lot more to do in this day and age than there was when we were little.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's got something to do with it, the fast-moving nature of the world that we live in now. I always joke about, you know, when you used to collect tokens on your cereal packets and then used to send off for something. I remember I got a Rice Krispies watch.
Okay.
Right? But, like, you used to have to collect them, so you used to probably have to get through, like, four or five boxes of cereal get there, which takes forever in the first place. And then you collect the tokens and then you send them off to the place.
Yep.
And then 28 days later, you get your item back.
Yes.
It just, that whole process.
28 and days then, is long, yeah.
And then, like, when you're waiting for the postman to turn up.
Well, I think it used to be, like, sometimes it was 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah,
it,
so, well. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And, like, you'd sit there, and when you knew something was coming, I'd sit by the window and wait for the postman to come, and every day, like, is it there? Nah.
No.
And so there is that theory, there's more to do in the world, but there's also the theory of, in terms of when you're younger, so your perception of time, so when you're 5 years old, you've only lived 5 years on this earth, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, like, a year seems a lot longer, because 5 years is your whole lifetime. But
yes,
when you hit 30...
You've been here 30 years.
Yeah, but, like, your whole lifetime's a lot longer, therefore your perception of time, you know...
Yeah, I understand.
So when you're 5 years old, a year seems a lot longer than when you're 30, because you don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah.
And
so I was talking to Finley the other day, who's nearly 10, and his birthday's in early December. So it's like 6 weeks away, maybe seven. But to him, that seems like a lifetime. And I keep thinking, well, 7 weeks ago, you know, when I was in Florida, it was like end of July, and 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But that still feels like yesterday. I feel like yesterday I was getting off that plane. So, but to him, 7 weeks is an awful long time.
Yeah. It's just interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just the way that perception changed. But yeah, my whole summer whizzed by. So I guess, yeah, things would have been gearing up really for Royal Quest from start of June, like, from really from that point, because obviously we had June and July, because I remember what was the month I didn't really run any shows? It was July, wasn't it?
July,
so
probably,
I ran one show in July, because I was just like, I'll run that one at the start of July, then have the rest of July to get stuff set for Royal Quest. But
no, but you did Cheltenham as well.
Yeah,
when,
because, so hear me out, so the start of so I was one show in July, first Sunday of July, Cockpit.
Yeah.
Then I take the rest of the month off to get stuff ready for Royal Quest. But what I didn't take into account was I was running the show every single weekend in August.
Yeah.
So we did Cockpit, Southampton, Cheltenham, and then obviously Copper Box, Summer Sizzler, and Cockpit. Like, all in that 4 week, 5 week period, right? So, so even though I was like, in my head, I was like, I was taking July off in order to prepare for Royal Quest, I was also having to do stuff for the, you know, the
six
other shows
yeah,
that I had planned, including Justin van der Liger's retirement show in a venue that I'd never run before. You know, so it was a very, very, very hectic and busy week, and not to mention, you know, the first time I'd ever run a show in front of that larger crowd for the Copper Box, and all the preparation that goes into that. You know, which I think it's an episode onto itself, isn't it? But, like,
sure.
But, you know, the amount of stuff that I did is almost unbelievable when I look back at the amount of stuff I got through in such a short amount of time. Obviously, promoting it for New Japan, organising everything for New Japan, and making sure that everything, when they got to UK, everything was in place.
Yeah.
And it was all good. So yeah, so that was a hell of a busy time period for me. So it'd be interesting if we'd done podcasts during that time to see what a mess of a human being I was.
Yeah.
Because I was...
I spoke to you every day, near enough.
Yeah, how was I?
Oh, God, need to do this, need to do that.
Yeah, all you wanted to talk about was, what did Dave Meltzer say about this? Like, just subscribe to Wrestling Observer, mate. You'll be all right.
I don't know why I ever said that. Maybe once about something.
Every time, all the time. Yeah.
I get it on Twitter now. I don't know. I follow Dave on Twitter.
Reading is your friend. I've had to say that to you many times.
Yeah.
So that was my son was really just the build up to that event.
Yeah.
And then
we've got a good few topics there, haven't we?
Oh, I've had new kitchen. Oh, I've had new garden, new kitchen. Yeah.
Okay.
Spent everything.
Mm.
All my life's money gone. Like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I've got a new kitchen and a new garden. Lovely. Cool.
I don't think I'll ever see it. I don't go around yours anymore. I forgot where you live.
Well, you could do any time.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Hayley, not make me a cup of tea again.
You need to get over yourself.
Do you want a cup of tea, Andy? And then you say, yes, please.
Yes, like, please.
Don't worry about it. I don't want one. I haven't a few times.
Nah.
Definitely did. I'm not going to let it go.
You're just oversensitive. That's maybe your problem. It didn't happen.
Okay.
So, yeah. I've been on all kinds of adventures with Calvin.
Mm-hmm. Staunton Country Park?
Staunton Country Park, yep.
Yeah, I've been there with Poppy. Yep.
Peppa Pig World.
Oh, she's not done that yet.
Been to the aquarium a few times. Annual members to the aquarium now. He's a rip, man. The aquarium costs you £11 every time you go into it.
Yeah.
All right. Or maybe even more than that, but I'm going to say maybe £11. Every time you go into it, it costs £11. It only takes about half hour to walk around.
Yeah.
So, like, but the annual membership's £30 and you can go in
every
as
day
often as you want. Yeah. So I've just got that, so I'm just popping with that. I've got the Staunton Country Park
membership
as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I should probably get one. Lindsay and Poppy both got one, but I don't
Poppy
have one.
Poppy doesn't need one, does she? Yes, she's under free.
Oh, mate, okay. Well, Lindsay's got one then. Yeah. But every time I go, I have to pay,
just get nine quid.
Yeah.
Just get an annual membership.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Staunton's good as well because it does your car parking as well.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's a good point.
That saves you a few quid each time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been there. Been to Marwell Zoo. Calvin's like a real lucky boy, really.
He's spoilt, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lucky boy.
Where else have we been?
And the thing is,
the place.
When he's 12, 16, 19, 22, he won't remember any of it.
Ah, but it's all about developing him now,
isn't
it?
I know. I got in trouble for it recently, didn't I? So,
yeah.
With my wife.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
Yes.
So you're really not the one to be giving me parenting advice, are you?
No, fair enough.
So, that's it. Oh, you're right, mate.
Yep, excuse me.
Cool. I thought we were going to lose you then.
No.
We did do a show where we nearly lost you in the middle of a show, didn't we?
God, yeah, that was horrible, yeah.
That was
stuffy
at the London
up
cockpit.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. I legitimately thought you were just gone. That's the end
of it. I couldn't find my water, so I was getting agitated.
You're panicking. I've never seen anything like it in my life.
Well, I'll tell the story.
Well, I have seen something like it in my life.
Yeah. I'll tell. So we recorded on Wednesday. 2 weeks ago today, I was in the gym. Whoever follows me on Twitter might have seen this. I was in the gym. I lightly pulled a muscle in my lower back when I was weight training. I was like, oh, I'll be okay. And then I go to do another exercise where you sort of put the bar behind your head. It's called behind the neck shoulder press. Okay, so I've got about 1,000 kilos on there or something. Anyway, I unrack it and I pull it down and also my lower back just completely gives way.
Well, to me, I don't really think that, you know, if you've pulled a muscle in your back, then going on to do more back exercises.
Well, it's a shoulder exercise, but I'm not expecting
Upper back
that
as well. So if you were to
thank
look
you,
at
Mr. Schwarzenegger.
Well, no, I'm just saying if you were to look at the you know, they do those charts.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
the
I should have just gone.
You'd
home.
Have a dark, no. You'd have the dark red on the shoulders, and you'd have a lighter tone of red on your upper back.
Oh, you're talking about those the pictures on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you might be right. Anyway, I should have just gone home the moment I felt that little twinge. But I was like, no, I'm okay. I was going to Casa Brazil for lunch, just organise it, and I mean seconds before. Right, meet at Casa Brazil at 1. Okay, if you don't know what Casa Brazil is, it's like a Brazilian where you get sliced meats over and over again for as long as you like. It's a fantastic place to go for lunch. So, I unrack it, I put it down, my back goes like badly, and I was like, oh, I'm okay. Then I kind of sat there for a couple of minutes. I then had to call an instructor over to kind of, no, I stood up, sorry. Called an instructor over and said, I think I'm going to need some help getting to a chair. I'm sat in the chair in the gym, and then I've never spoke to these men in my life, not properly, but acknowledged and said hello. But he goes, oh, how's the wrestling going? I said, oh, yeah, all right, thanks. And it was just news to me. They knew. So I tell them about the school and whatnot. And then they end up putting up a couple of my videos on YouTube. So
this is your favourite thing to do.
What? No, I didn't ask them to. They were like, oh, is any of your stuff on YouTube?
I wrestled in Marco.
That was what they watched. Because they pulled me up on YouTube. I decide I'm going to stick out the day. I'm still going to go for lunch with Luke. And then I thought, I'll come see you. And that's when...
I wish you didn't. I wish I didn't too.
Yeah. I wish I'd just gone straight home. So I've kind of pulled my back a few times over the last sort of 3 or 4 years.
It's getting more and more regular.
No, it isn't getting more and more regular.
I'm worried about you.
And so I'm here, I'm sat down, we're chilling out, and then I must have stood up because I thought, we've got training, I'll be all right for training. Because that's what I mean, I wasn't in that much pain.
Okay, so I opened the door of the office. You were walking down. I think I was going to out to a toilet or something, and you had come in.
Yeah.
Let yourself in, as always.
Yeah.
And you were hobbling down the hallway.
Yeah.
Like a little old man. Like Stu Hart in the end of Wrestling with Shadows.
But I didn't have a stick.
And I'm pretty sure I even sung Pacing the Cage to you as you were, as you were walking down the corridor. Imagine it to be a grassy verge. And you're walking like a little old man. And you come in, you sit down, make yourself at home.
Yep.
I think, and then I was like, maybe I was going out to get some food or something. Because I remember we went out.
No, we went out to check out a house.
No, but we went out to get some food.
Oh, we went to Greg's.
And then, then we went to check the house out next.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, Andy, can we go to Greg's?
Yeah.
Like, can you drive? Because I just don't think I can, make it there. So, took you to Greg's. Made some gags to the shop assistant about how pathetic you looked.
Yep. Well, it must have been getting progressively worse then. So then, okay, so yeah, so that was the day. Then we sat down about 5 o'clock, maybe even half five, 6 o'clock.
No, it was before that because I just wanted to go home.
Okay, well, anyway, I stood up to leave because I'm thinking I've got to go trading, take trading, and my back just seized up in such a manner I collapsed on your desk. And now I'm going to you.
Oh my God! Oh, Eddie! I'm Eddie, going, help! I need an ambulance. And I was like, well, I'm not calling 999.
You know, you said,
I wasn't laughing. I would not be laughing. I was very awkward. I was like, what? I just want to go home here. You've impressed yourself upon my day, and now you're collapsed in my office, on my desk. I was like, how am I going to explain this to the authorities?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not calling 999. Mm-hmm. I'll call, what's that number? And you tell me 111.
Yeah.
So we called 111.
So it passed phone to me. He's asking me 100 questions, which I know he has to do, but he spoke to me.
He's got like a WebMD in front of him. And it's just, he's going, are you having a heart attack? No.
And he's asking me, what is your date of birth? Anyway, so he took so long to talk to me, I sat back down in the chair, and then I went,
I'm all right now, like, I've been sat here, and since you've been talking, it's actually a lot better now. I think I just need to go home and have a nice bath. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, it's all right now. It's all right,
Wish I could have had a bath.
Yeah, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And the bloke had said to you, if there's any more problems, please do not hesitate to get in touch and go through this whole process all over again.
Yeah, so...
I'll be all right. Yeah, no, it's okay. No, really, honestly, mate, thank you.
Okay.
That was a good impression.
Yeah. And so I end up having to wheel myself on this chair, this actual chair.
No, next thing, you were there, and you told, you were like, my back's better now, right? And then I was like, okay, mate, cool. And I was like, I need to go now. I need to go home before... Mm-hmm. Training happens. See my family.
Yeah.
Right? And you're like, oh, can you just get some painkillers out of the car first?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right?
That Cuprofen.
So I go and get your Cuprofen out of the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, mate, I need to go now. And you're like, oh, just give it a few minutes to kick in. Right? Okay, cool. So 10 minutes or so passes. And you're like, and I'm like, okay, mate, I need to go now. And you're like, oh, I just need to go for a piss first. And then, next thing, it's like, he goes out the door, and he's like, 3, 2, 1, Andy! Oh, God! Help! Help me! Andy, seriously! Andy, I can't breathe! Andy, I can't breathe! Help me! Help me!
I couldn't breathe. It was horrible. The pain was so bad. So, yeah, I did a wee.
No, she's too bad.
No one wants to hear.
So you're dying, and I come outside, and you're doubled over the door, and you're like, I can't move. Seriously, Ellie, no, seriously, I mean, seriously, Ellie. And I was like, what do you want me to do? I don't know, mate, oh. And I was like, oh, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I'll get you a chair, and I got you a...
Yeah, probably took 10 minutes if I got you a chair. Right, yeah.
Yeah, because this place is a mess. I had to get it through an obstacle course. So that very chair you're sat in right now, I wheeled out to you.
Yes.
Right? And then you wheel yourself into the toilet, and you go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Right? And then I very kindly, being a lovely human being, was like...
Filmed it?
No, I filmed little bits of it. I didn't film any of the good stuff because it was very distressing. Like, your calls, your cries were quite intense.
Yes, I know.
And So I offered to take you home because I was just like, otherwise, you're just going to be lied here like all night long.
So, I'd have been there for like days.
So I was like, I'll take you home. So we had to...
go back to mine. I then had to shuffle myself.
But first of all, you were in the chair.
Yeah. And you had myself to the front door of your office. Door.
Yeah.
But then I got to your car all right. Somehow. Well,
that's because I pulled right up to the door.
Yeah, but I had to walk down some steps and stuff. And
three steps. Yeah, such a hero.
But you're being like Lindsay. You didn't understand how painful it was.
Oh, I could see
how painful
it was.
I'm trying to get to the high spot of this whole story. Because...
oh, but can I just make another observation as well, though? Right?
Go on.
So, you then started going on about wanting a bottle in case you needed to go for a piss on the way home.
Yeah.
Right?
Now I've been to the gym and I drank lots of water.
Okay, right? But you're like, I won't... you're like, if I need to go to a toilet on the way home, like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then that got me thinking afterwards, like, what would you do anyway? Would you just piss yourself?
If I was on my
because
own?
Because I was going to do, like, so if I'm taking you home, why do you need a bottle to go to the toilet in? Like, why could you not hold it in?
I was in such a panic.
Why could you not hold it in? Why did you feel like you had to have a wee in my car?
I don't know. Well, I didn't, did I?
Well, no, you didn't, because you were banished from doing so.
Yeah. Well, anyway, whatever.
And you were like that kind of... and I was like, you're not having the bottle. He's like, where's the bottle? You're not having the bottle. And you did that kind of pathetic thing where you were like, kind of like, when you're wheeling yourself along, you're like, oh, here's a bottle. It was in your pocket.
That was it.
Oh, here's
you have
a bottle.
No idea how much pain I was in. No, like, seriously, no idea. I'd never felt anything like it.
I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah. And so I got home, got myself to the sofa, and then obviously Poppy was in bed, I think.
No, she wasn't. She met you at the door. I have it on video.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, she did meet me at the door.
She wanted you to pick her up, and you couldn't.
Yeah, so which was a nice welcoming. That made me happy for half a second.
It made me really laugh as well.
So, anyway, I finally make my way to the sofa. Lindsay, my wife, takes Poppy to bed, and then we realise we've got no painkillers in the house. So what was...
you got Ciprofen? Oh, in your car, which was at my office.
Which I left at the office. We didn't have anything. So my mum drove down, God bless her heart, to deliver me some.
And how long did it take your poor mum to...
yeah, but I'm mummy's baby boy.
You are. And for anyone that doesn't know Andy...
she was happy to do it. But the following... so I slept on the sofa that night. The following morning, I could not get up. And everyone knows what every man needs to do first thing in the morning.
Have a... wee.
So I had to navigate... oh, yeah, that was it. And Lindsay left me at 9 o'clock, take the kids to school, and then went off probably... no, I think she had a dentist appointment or something. So I was just literally sat there on my own. Luckily, I had a bottle there. So did the business. And then I went to get up again to maybe get some food or just get a drink. Kind of thought, oh, I feel a bit better now. Taking my Ciprofen. My whole back seized up again. I collapsed on the sofa. I called Lindsay. This is in the space of almost like not 24 hours yet. Collapsed on the sofa again in such tremendous pain and stiff and I can't breathe. And it was scary because I was on my own. She said, right, we're calling an ambulance. So I was like, okay.
She was like, 999.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Probably not, but I wouldn't have been surprised. Honestly, I'm trying to convey here how much discomfort I was in. And I could have done something serious. Do you know what I mean? Like, she kept saying, I think you've slipped a disc. I was like, you're not a doctor. You haven't got a clue. So I said, I've done this before, but not this bad. So the ambulance come and they sort of, they give me some, oh, that was it. They gave me some codeine, nothing was working.
This little old lady lying on the floor in the street, in the high street. No one's there to pick her up because...
someone was dealing with me. So, and the paramedic said, we can't leave here till you're off the sofa. And I can't move. Like, I cannot move. So they give me a pain pill. Doesn't really do anything within the course of an hour. To be fair, they're really nice.
They were there for an hour.
Yeah, maybe longer. So then they decide they're going to give you gas and air, you know, like the Entonox, you know, yeah, like pregnant women have.
Yeah, I had a good go on it's that good, when Hayley was in the in labour.
Yeah, it's good. So I took some of that, and I kind of thought, once I've done that, I'll be fine, like I'll be all right to move. Couldn't. Every time, and it was worse, because I had that sort of drowsy, cloudy feeling, and I can't almost like, I can talk, but I feel like I'm talking like this. So I collapsed back on the sofa again, and then they call my GP, and they prescribe me some painkillers, some super painkillers. And now the same painkillers I took when I badly did my shoulder in about a year ago.
I thought you were going
to... sorry, like, not a year ago, 10 years ago.
I thought you were going to do like, they're the same painkillers that Wrestler X took when he overdosed.
No, no, no. So I'll drop the bloody thing now. So yeah. So I took them. Sorry, they prescribed me them. Got them. Took one. Fell asleep. Two hours late. Woke up and I was like, oh my god, I feel like a new man. And I could move. I couldn't even shuffle along the sofa. It was absurd. But then within 2 hours of taking this particular pain pill, which I kind of want to give it a shout out.
You can't, because
I can't remember it either.
Well, we're not endorsing pain medication on the A Squared Circle Wrestling Podcast.
No, but it's also an anti-inflammatory.
But if a pain medication company did want to pay to sponsor,
yeah,
we'd probably be up for talking.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Mm. So I took one of them, and I've been taking them for the last couple of weeks, and I'm now off them, and now I'd say I'm 97% healed. Still getting the odd twinge here and there.
Oh, it's a relief, isn't it?
But I was back in the gym yesterday, did a light workout in the gym.
Welcome back.
But, yeah, it was bad. Honestly, you hear about, like, wrestlers. Oh, and the odd sort of irony stroke coincidence was I was reading Dynamite Kid's book at the time.
So you're thinking... you
know? And I'm like, it's over. Do you know what I mean? It's over. There's nothing left for me. I'm done. So, yeah. I assume you probably always have a wrestling book in your loo.
No, I don't.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, Dynamite Kids is in there at the moment. It bounces around from time to time.
Well, I don't have enough time to read any good, get any good mileage out of a book whilst I'm on a toilet.
Oh, really? So, well, it's a good time to kind of get away for 10 minutes. Isn't it? Kurt Angles is downstairs. Dynamite Kids is upstairs.
I used to joke that it was the only time you'd ever get a reply from me was when I was on the toilet. If you happened to text me while I was on the toilet, then you'd get a reply. That used to be a joke. No chance of that happening anymore because I'm addicted to a game called Two Dots.
Okay.
It's just a little, you know, just one of those little mobile
sounds like
phone
a complete
games.
Waste of time.
It is, but it's brain training, isn't it? So,
yeah, sure.
It's good for your brain. Like, it has different parts of your brain working. You know, do you know what level I'm at?
Tell the world.
Level 160.
All right, well done.
So,
out of how many? Which keeps going?
I think it's infinity, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just pulling it up now just to check. So I might have a little swipe on that while we're playing. So yeah.
Oh, we got Curtis Chapman in the studio with us today.
He's a nerd, so he's just literally gone straight onto the App Store and he's getting Two Dots.
Did you play it already, Curtis? He does not. He's downloading it now. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else you want to cover before we delve into, you know, what's upcoming?
Well, we need to do our wrestling challenge.
Oh yes, of course
we
do.
We need to do that. Do we need to do anything else? I think we've cut. Like, I mean, so what's wrong with you? he's having a panic attack again.
No, it wasn't.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah,
because I'm worried about you. Ever since that incident in the office, any sudden movements from you, I get. A little
oh,
bit
that
worried.
Was only about a few days after when we were at the cockpit, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, no, it was a week after.
No, it wasn't, because it happened on Wednesday, and your show was on the Sunday, so...
Oh, yeah.
24 hours to Thursday.
You're like, oh,
okay, about
can,
4 days.
Oh, I think I can make it.
Yeah, there was a time when I said, I don't think I'll be there, but then these painkillers were fantastic. I'll stop calling them painkillers, I'll call them anti-inflammatories.
Yeah, that'll make us all feel a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out of a swing of things here, and I'm trying to play Two Dots at the same time. So
you are ridiculous. Concentrate the task at hand. That is absurd. Just put up the 30-week wrestling challenge.
I'm brain training.
On air?
Always, constantly.
Oh, sorry, I'll just text. I'll text.
So PJ Black, former WWE superstar Justin Gabriel.
Yes?
He was telling me about he tries to do something new every day.
Okay.
To... Just even if it's little things. So like if you're driving to work, you drive a different way.
Oh, okay.
You're cleaning your teeth.
Was that an example he gave? Or?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He said when he cleans his teeth, like, so he might decide to stand on one leg. Just little things to make your brain think, to access other parts of your brain. Because the way he worded it was, and I might be bastardizing his words here, so I apologize if I am, but the way he worded it was, stuff becomes automatic, the motion becomes automatic. So, you know, like, for example, how I've only had it recently, but you know, like, if you drive somewhere, so I'm sure if you drive from your house to the wrestling school, you don't even think about it.
No.
To the extent that now you're just like, oh, I don't even really know how I got there.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm here. Yeah, yeah, I get
it. Do
that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because it's just your brain's automatic, right? But because that part of your brain is just on, worrying. But you can make other parts of your brain work as well. So, like, because we obviously only use a small percentage of our brains, right?
Yeah.
So, by doing stuff that you don't normally do, it accesses other parts of your brain, keeps your brain healthy. So that's the idea behind, you know, the old Nintendo games, brain training games. The idea behind that is to get you thinking.
Okay.
Right? So he'd do like little different things each day. And one of the things he did, because he wants to learn new things all the time, one of the things he did was he learned how to do a Rubik's Cube. And he did a Rubik's Cube in 2 minutes and 49 seconds. I thought that was quite impressive.
Yeah,
he just taught himself how to do it. And I passed it around to multiple people because he was just like, he was sat there with a Rubik's Cube sat in his bag, looking all proud. And
wanted someone to ask him, did he?
Yeah, and obviously I did because I'm inquisitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just like, just did it. Maybe he did it in less than 2 minutes 49 seconds, I don't know, but like, he's like, just did it, 3 minutes, new record, right? And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, I taught myself how to do it. And he explained his theory behind it. And I was like, well, give us that Rubik's Cube then. And I mixed it up. And then I passed it round to several different people because I'm very aware. You know when someone gets you to shuffle cards?
Yeah.
I'm really bad at it.
Okay.
Right? So like, I'll shuffle it a little bit, but really, do you know what I mean? If you were to have a pack in nice order, if I shuffled the cards, then 80% of the cards would be in the same order.
Same place, yeah, right? Okay, I get
I'm just moving the same piece over and over. So I passed it round to several people, and he sat and he did it in 2 minutes, 49 seconds.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I thought that was quite impressive. So anyway, so what I was doing was brain training, okay? I was just two-dotting, A Squared podcasting.
I forgot that's what we're coming back to,
and, yeah. I'll always get back there in the end. We do a little detour, but I'll always get back there in the end. So that's what's been going on. Anyway,
30-week wrestling challenge.
So, we started a thing where we were going to do
the music,
a different piece of music.
Yeah.
Right. So, I'll do one.
Okay.
But I need to think about it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
This might come out wrong. I'm really trying to think hard. Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge. Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge. Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge. Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge. Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge.
The end.
Yeah.
A wrestling theme, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought I had it at first, and then I thought, no, I've already done that one, and I couldn't get Mr. Perfect.
Andy and Andy's 30-week wrestling challenge.
Steiner Brothers.
Yes!
Yeah! Excellent.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Okay.
Steiner Brothers, WWF Rum.
Yeah. That's a good piece of music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember doing that when I was a kid with the toys.
Yeah. You had to.
Yeah. In fact, Greg Burridge and Johnny Storm always told me a funny story when they wrestled in Thailand. Every time they go to the cinema, there'd be a thing that said, like, please stand for the king. I think this is right. And the piece of music we're playing, it would sound like the Steiner Brothers music. And they'd stand and talk. Yeah, so... cool. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Good one. Cool.
This week's is your dream match.
Okay. So I'm assuming we're talking...
Ever.
Well, you're not a wrestler, so...
Well, no, it's designed for fans of professional wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so...
So it's not like... Well, my dream match would be me versus a British Bulldog.
That would be as British Bulldogs as a tag team, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Versus?
Johnny Angel.
The Bolsheviks.
Well, that'd be a bloody good one. A dream match. So, oh, God. Have you got one?
No, I was just going to wait for yours and then use that to come back.
Use a bit of inspiration. So, a lot of people, I think, almost
I've got one.
Fantasize about a match between a prime Bret Hart versus a prime Kurt Angle.
Oh, no, close. I was going to go with a prime
Danielson.
Bret Hart versus Bryan Danielson.
Yes,
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. I mean, I know that would be a fantastic wrestling match, but I just don't think that's my wrestling match, you know?
Okay. I'm not asking it to be. I'm just saying.
But, you know.
Tanahashi versus Bret Hart.
Oh,
that would be a
hell of a
match.
I'd be into that. Gotcha.
Mm. I think that's my call. Tanahashi versus Bret Hart. I think that would be prime Tanahashi, prime Bret Hart, I think would be the greatest wrestling match of all time.
Do you know what I think might be the greatest?
Psychology wise.
And you've thrown it on a loop here, introducing Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think it might be better than Tanahashi versus Bret Hart?
Go on.
Tanahashi versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan as a heel.
I'm sure that would be very good, yeah. But I just think Tanahashi, Bret Hart would just be... I mean, the atmosphere for Hogan and Tanahashi would have been something else.
Yeah,
I just feel like Bret Hart... I don't know. I just feel like... I the spectacle of Tanahashi and Hogan would be something else, right? But the work within Tanahashi versus Bret Hart would be something else.
Yeah.
And I think for, and for both for very different reasons, you'd be emotionally drawn into the contest.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
Okay. All right. I would. Tanahashi would not have been my first pick, but once you mentioned him, I was like, okay, that's a good base. But Hulk Hogan, a heel Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
Cool. That was our 30-week wrestling.
That's quite quick, actually, wasn't it?
We'll see you again the same time next week.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to talk about now? We're going to...
Well, I think we're just going to... Yeah, we'll close up. I think we'll give it
It's funny because we've not really spoken any wrestling at all, have we?
Not really.
We just did just then, momentarily.
Yeah. I've had enough people, and I'm not saying hundreds, I've had enough people tell me they like it just for me just chat.
Yeah, but I've told you that many times and you don't believe me. You're just like, oh.
I say to you sometimes, we'll go, what should we do on the podcast? I go, let's just talk about you know, let's not delve too far into like, oh, we did this or, do you know, we went to the shops, but like, you know, I think just us chatting, wrestling, our philosophies.
Well, I remember how angry you got when I told people about the time I bought an OLED TV or like the TV broke and I had to get... Do you remember the TV
broke? Yeah, I remember the bloody story.
The TV broke and I had to get a new TV.
You're
it was a good story.
It, you're still telling it,
it
now.
It was a good story. I had to use consumer law to get one up on Currys or Argos to get a new TV. They wanted me to bloody wait. They wanted me to return the TV.
Yeah, and then
I'd have to wait.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's no good to me.
No, I need a TV
So
now.
I had to pull up consumer law
and
explain to them why having a TV was desperate for my job.
Yeah.
Because obviously I had to watch Monday Night Raw.
Obviously. Or I've cancelled my Sky Sports.
Research. Have you really?
Yeah.
Getting ready for the old BT Sport era, are you?
Not at all, no. Just don't watch it. I can watch, if I was to so be inclined, I'd watch This Week in WWE. I've still got WWE Network. But in terms of Sky
Sports.
Who's
logging using for that?
No, I use my own, actually. But I was found out recently. I've been bloody playing for it twice.
Really?
Yeah. Because you know when we all did the thing where you've paid for the American...
Yeah, and surely... I remember, and you were just like, I'm going to the English one now.
Yeah.
But I stayed American.
And
you saved
money. And I've still been paying twice.
Good.
Yeah, it's like karma for trying to... But I was paying for it, so it's not like I was ever stealing it.
Isn't it funny? Like, it's like, yeah, that serves you right. And like... You deserve that, paying WWE, this multi-billion dollar company, an extra unnecessary amount of money, even though you already pay it.
I was paying one lot of £9.99. I was paying another lot of like £8.
Yeah, so which one did you cancel?
I'll tell you why I cancelled the American one, which you're going to be like, oh, save money. The reason why I didn't was because I'm just trying to keep everything under one email address, which is just my email address. I was under one, which was my old Rocky's Toys one, which isn't even Rocky's Toys. It was something else. So I was just like, I want to keep everything under my Andy Simmons one.
Cool.
For the sake of £1 a month, I was quite happy to throw that in the kitty.
So, give me a quick 411. What's your thoughts on this? So we're going to talk. So in coming weeks, we'll talk about British wrestling. They say Brit Res is dead is a popular.
You say it all the bloody time.
No, I don't. I never say it ever. So
I'm joking.
Off,
right, I'm joking.
Right. So, what we see all the time is that terminology almost in an ironic sense. Brit Res is dead. Ha ha ha. People trying to prove one way or the other. But what I think would be very interesting is for us to discuss the current lay of the land within the UK wrestling scene in general, as people who've been around for a long time, because a lot of people, so there was a perceived boom in British wrestling. I remember I used to get a lot of heat when I used to say, in maybe say 2013-14, I'd be like, we're not in a boom period of British wrestling, right? Because to me, in my mind, the boom period of British wrestling was when Brian Dixon was able to run 3 shows a day at the same time, selling out theatres around the country.
And that was a time when you wouldn't have even considered it a thing, you know, like 2005, 2006, 2007.
Yeah, it was, and again, like, yeah, you have to, and we'll get into this in the future, but yeah. You have to look at them for different merits, don't you? So, like, what you can say, was it successful? Yes, from a monetary standpoint, yes, it was very successful. From a numbers through the gates standpoint, yes, it was very successful. Did they establish anything during that time? Did they make the most of that opportunity that was afforded to them at that time? Absolutely not, right? Now, it makes you think, like, wow, if what we have now in terms of talent, production, etc., if we could have shoehorned that into the time when there really was a wrestling boom, right? Could we have used that to grow wrestling even further? And obviously, it's just one of those cases of the right pieces at the wrong time, so to speak. Because those pieces weren't available, you know, at that specific time. Mm-hmm. You know, the exceptional workers weren't available. The exceptional production levels weren't available at an affordable price.
Yeah.
Because even now, it's very expensive, but then it was even more expensive. So it just wasn't cost effective to do. So it makes you wonder, you know, if those pieces were in place then, you know, would things be different now?
Yep.
But anyway, as people who've been around and seen it, you know, essentially from the days of just, you know, the ring in the hall, essentially unbranded wrestling shows, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To the FWA coming and reinventing what branding was,
yeah.
To the new school style of wrestling, to the super shows, which were a big thing for at least a few years, weren't they? You know, just fly as many imports in as possible.
Yes.
To the shows which were able to run on a sustainable local level, bringing in your random fly-ins, to the shows which, you know, random independent fly-ins, to the shows which sustained by bringing in the former WWE superstar fly-ins, to where we are today. Like, we've kind of seen all of that, haven't we, in a nutshell?
Yeah,
so I think it'd be very interesting to have that as a discussion point to talk about the landscape of British wrestling. But what I'd like to get is your 411 on the current landscape of American professional wrestling. Where, like, because since we've done that podcast, everything's changed.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? You watching AEW? You watching NXT? You watching SmackDown?
I've not watched NXT. I've watched AEW. I've seen both of those. And it's almost like, because also I'm on Twitter.
Your opinions are very easily...
No. I was going to say my opinions are just kind of the same as everyone else's, but it sounds always a bit boring to be like, oh, I thought actually was actually really good. But it was. Like, I love that little show closing bit with Jericho's new squad. You know, I love a good gang. I've always loved the gangs. I think I've said that before. You know, I always loved NWO, always loved the Hart Foundation, always loved Nation of Domination. I just did. I just love... And I say this, and this might be my psyche as a human being. I would say, when we get a photo... Let's all get a photo.
Yeah, you are. You always do that, don't you?
Let's
it's weird
all
sometimes.
Always get a photo. Like,
just have one on your own.
I don't. Boring. I want to show Poppy when she's 18. Oh, look at Daddy.
See,
here.
He was popular.
It's been like, look, here's Daddy, and that's his
but
friend
Daddy.
Andy.
You're always on your own.
Exactly. I don't want. You know, like, I want to share my experiences with my friends, right? Always. So. I feel the same about my wrestling. Is I like to see friends.
Makes you feel warm.
Maybe. Yeah. So I like to see Chris Jericho and Jack Swagger and
hanging out.
Yeah. So I've always liked the wrestling gang. So I really like that.
Tick that box. Tick.
Yeah. The Young Bucks, they're not everyone's cup of tea, are they? But it was fantastic. And we discussed the tag team tournament they're doing in AEW. And, you know, who wouldn't have predicted, and I say this as a wrestling fan, that Young Bucks weren't going to win the whole thing. But, of course, they didn't even win the first round. So that was different.
That's interesting. That sparked a lot of debate, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, should they have won? Should they not? I believe they made the right decision, them not winning, because to me, they now move on to something else.
Yeah.
And Private Party have been made in that night.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know who they are now. They've had an exceptional matchup. And there's more depth to the tag team. By Young Bucks losing,
It's
made more depth to a tag team division, because whatever tag team program Young Bucks are in now is already going to be credible. And whatever program that Private Party go into now will hopefully also be credible.
Mm-hmm.
So it's added that depth to the tag team division. Obviously, the argument remains, which is a very interesting argument, which is, are the Young Bucks established yet to the wider audience?
So was it not as much as a leap as they thought it was going to be for Private Party to beat them, you mean?
Yeah, so, like, you know, because, like, obviously, we, like, so all the hype about, so I'll give you an example. So I'd, and, so I'll give you my thoughts on a show in a second, because I think it's very good, right? But I don't want to come across as negative, but I feel that Kenny Omega's portrayal hasn't been the best.
Okay.
Right? In the sense of, I know firsthand that Kenny Omega's a game changer. When we announced Kenny Omega for a show, we sold out remaining 400 tickets in like 20 minutes. And we announced him on like a Tuesday afternoon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even...
It was enough for people to be like, I need that to go for that. Yeah.
I know, and this is a fact as well, that we have excess stock of Kenny Omega t-shirts from New Japan Pro Wrestling, which once the stock's gone, they won't be being reprinted, right? But I know that when Kenny Omega left New Japan to when AEW started, the t-shirt sales just stopped.
Okay.
Just literally stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no, you know, they just stopped. So he had a few t-shirts that came out towards the end of his run.
Yep.
That just didn't sell. And there was one t-shirt which sold out, like the initial batch that we got reprinted. We couldn't get them in quick enough. And again, we got them in, the reprint. We maybe sold like 10 of the shirt.
Okay.
You know? So it's interesting. But like New Japan had done a great job of making him this, I don't want to say mythical character, but he was almost like, you know, the best bout machine, larger than life, you know, like you knew that when he was in a match, which was, and it's interesting because he got away, like, what I'd always say about Kenny was, I thought he was fantastic. I think he's a fantastic in-ring performer. I felt that he let his, I thought there would have been a bigger mystique about him. I thought that people would have been more behind him if when they had those tag matches, he wasn't just clowning around.
Right.
So, you know, like when he was with the Young Bucks tagging, he was just clowning around, you know, on the undercard of the shows. Now, I know why he did it, but the New Japan business model had changed in the sense that now everything's on New Japan World. Whereas before, if it was a house show, do you know what I mean? He treated it like it was a house show, even though because the very nature of the business has changed, it's no longer a house show. And I'm not saying he should have killed himself in the matches. He could have done exactly the same stuff that he did in the matches, but with a serious face rather than clowning around. So right. I've always thought that, you know, he should be protected as the best wrestler in the world. And I think AEW have got this, a huge deal of having him on their books of being the best wrestler. But I feel like, and this is only 2 weeks into the TV show, plus obviously all the TV they've produced since June and the pay-per-views they've produced. I feel 2 weeks into the show, I'm not seeing Kenny Omega as a game changer. I'm not seeing Kenny Omega as
what he should be.
The number one guy. I think he should be put up on a pedestal, you know, and I'm not seeing that. And that's only, so there's 2 weeks in, you know, and it can change.
It's on tonight?
It's on tonight. It might change, you know, it might change tonight. But I guess going back to the point I was making is if I was a first time viewer tuning in, I'd be like, well, what's all the fuss about Kenny Omega about? 2 weeks in, I'd be like, what's all the fuss about? You know, so same being for the Young Bucks, like a lot of people might not know just how good they are. They might know about their reputation before, but really reputation counts for nothing in front of a new audience.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Young Bucks' match was exceptional against Private Party, so I think that tells you all you need to know. And I think that the fact that Private Party were able to hold their own with them, again, that made Private Party as well. So I don't really think it's a bad thing at all. I'm playing devil's advocate. I don't think it's a bad thing at all, Private Party beating the Young Bucks, but obviously there's always that mindset of, you know,
right,
it's that in front of a new audience for the first time, we need to establish them as dominant and winning matches, because ultimately wins and losses matter, even though WWE have conditioned us that they don't.
That they don't, yeah.
You know, so as far as the Young Bucks look, they lost. You know, they lost this. They lost the week before in that. You know, the big six man.
Yeah.
They lost against Pentagon and Phoenix in the ladder match, but I don't really think that counts because obviously it was before the TV. You know, but it's just, I don't know, just a interesting way to look at it. You know. Yeah.
Okay.
So what's your thoughts? You said about the...
Yeah, okay, so...
So I'm asking about the landscape. Tell me about the landscape. What are you thinking?
Well, it's obviously positive, isn't it? It's more wrestling on telly. Is there too much wrestling on telly? Quite probably.
Absolutely.
But I can't watch... I don't watch hardly any of it. So I almost like can't comment on the landscape. I follow what I need to follow.
So I feel, myself, I'm... I look at it, I'm like, it's exciting. It's the first time I've been excited about wrestling in a long while. And there's stuff like, so if you're like NWA Power, did you see any of that?
I haven't seen that yet. No.
Okay, so I thought that was very good. And I thought that was refreshingly different and easy to watch. I can't stress that enough. And it was great to see everyone talking so well. Like, great promos. Nick Aldis cut a hell of a promo. Two great promos in that show. But just great talkers and interesting characters. You know, James Storm, great promo.
You've seen the second one yet?
I've seen the start of the second one. I actually saw it live. It was streaming as I was going to bed, because it's like 6:05 Eastern.
Yeah.
It's on, because obviously it's a takeoff of Saturday Wrestling, 6:05 being the time slot.
It's got Trevor Murdoch on it.
So it's not too late for me. So sure. I watched the start of it, and then then I had to go to sleep because I was getting tired.
Off, yeah.
But I'm going to watch it all though. I enjoy it a lot. Okay. Easy to watch. So that's new and that's exciting. And I think I'll probably. I'm not going to watch it. I don't think. Again, it's a hard one because what they've said is you need to watch. Like, it's not sustainable. Billy Corrigan himself has said that if you like it, support it, because it's not. You know, the budget they spent to make a YouTube show is not sustainable.
Right.
So it needs to be picked up by someone, really.
Okay.
So if you do like it, support it, you know, and tell people about it. Like, very much like this podcast, you know.
Share it.
It's a grassroots thing, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was cool. I would have been interested to see if they'd done a modernised take on the TV wrestling. Obviously, that it's very cool because it's all very throwback and very...
retro.
It is retro, and it's very authentic to what TV wrestling was, or what I know, because obviously I watch TV wrestling every week, but I've watched a lot of it through the archives, mm-hmm. right? And it's very, when I watch it, it feels very familiar to that, and that style, right? Now, I'd be interested to see what would happen if they updated the music a little bit, updated the graphics a little bit, you know, made it feel like you're doing a throwback of TV wrestling, but with a modernised twist. Yeah, maybe you lose part of the charm.
Yeah.
Maybe you do. But there is that charm, but does that charm... And there's that charm for wrestling fans, like old wrestling fans, and that may be their only market they're going for. But what about outsiders?
Yeah.
You know, would they be... And again, it's I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. I'm just throwing it out there. But I think it's very interesting, thinking outside the box, and that's what I like.
Cool.
I think the NXT and AEW things are interesting. It's got people talking, hasn't it? It's
mm-hmm.
got
and people continue to talk as long as they're both on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it'll be interesting because obviously I don't see any way that that NXT beats AEW. I just don't see it.
Okay.
Like, because I look at it like, so that first week NXT did a takeover style show, right? But you can't do takeovers every single week.
Yeah.
Right? It loses the appeal of takeovers. And it's almost like what's going to be interesting, the challenge for WWE now, is can they consistently produce a high quality TV show that builds towards takeovers, which are still seen as special? Because takeovers stand out and are very, you know, they're almost like they're flagpole events, right? Which stand out, seems super special and exciting. Everyone raves about them. You add the name Takeover to something and it sells tickets. Look at NXT UK Takeover. Both two takeovers are sold out. They can't even give away tickets for the TV tapings, right? So what does that tell you about the strength of that Takeover
brand? Yeah, okay.
Right? So what they're doing and what the risk is oversaturation of the NXT brand, because obviously the TV show was on the network every week, but I don't know if you used to watch it, or I never used to watch it every week, but I used to watch it from time to time, and it was just a standard TV show. It had squash matches, it was easy to watch, well booked, you know, some of the wrestling wasn't great, a lot of it was very good. There was very rarely anything exceptional on the TV show, right? But there was a lot of stuff to make you want to watch the takeovers.
Okay.
But they have now they're competing with something else on that same time slot. They've got that urge to compete with that high caliber match. And is that going to create oversaturation, which is then in turn going to water down the effect of the takeovers? So they have do you know what I mean? They have mm-hmm. I just think they have a very interesting line that they have to walk. And then obviously there's the issues of being in full sale every week. And I'd like, you know, I would bet WWE never give up on this NXT Wednesday Night War until either USA kick them off or AEW's dead. And I don't see any of those things happening in the foreseeable.
Sure.
And I can just see that, you know, moving forward, they need to get out of Full Sail and be an arena show. Because if you watch, especially last week's show, I thought last week was a home run for AEW. I thought it was a much better TV show than the first week. The crowd were rabid. It was just shot so well. And I think it was a relatively small venue in terms of arenas, but it felt so much bigger.
Okay.
And I feel that that's a challenge that NXT are always going to have until they get into arenas. But then it's...
Can they sell the tickets to arenas?
So, do you know what I mean? It's a very interesting scenario for them to be in. And we all know Vince McMahon works best when his back's against the wall.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's going to create some interesting scenarios, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Fox, after the first week on Fox, SmackDown on Fox, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, actually, because that was the first weekend after my back injury. So again, I was still on the side, I still couldn't get upstairs. So I watched it live.
On Sky Sports?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't have Sky Sports.
Yeah, I've cancelled it since. Oh, okay. I've still got it for like the rest of the month.
Okay, I was just checking to see if I could catch you out watching it illegally or anything.
No.
With SmackDown on Fox, I just think it'll be, you know, the first week I thought was encouraging. However, yeah. I was like, you know, they've not really made any new stars. Do you know what I mean? Like, the best segment was The Rock, right?
Oh, what about, I know people made this joke on Twitter, but I sincerely thought that was Rey Mysterio coming down with his son. When that Velasquez came out.
Well, Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar angle, I thought was good. I thought it was really... But there was a, like... So, to me, the best segment was The Rock, because The Rock's...
The Rock, yeah.
Right? Then Cain Velasquez was, I thought, the second best segment, and the third best segment was obviously Tyson Fury, but I didn't even think the Tyson Fury one was that good.
No, it was a bit, like... Yeah.
It was just a bit hokey, I thought.
Yeah, a bit hesitation, wasn't there?
But I can see the aim behind that, to get eyeballs on the product... Right, but then this week's show, or last week, or the Friday Just Gone show,
yeah,
I thought was absolutely dreadful. And I was just like, it was just a terrible follow-up.
It's because of people like you, Mr. Bischoff doesn't have a job anymore.
I never voiced my opinion. I just kept it inward. So if his podcast came out after...
Sorry, nearly knocked before, over the whole set.
Yeah, just leave it alone, because otherwise we're going to have to record the whole thing again.
Could we get Eric into RevPro? He might be the general manager.
I don't think I could afford him. Maybe we could bring him in to be the executive director and move his whole family out here and then be like, sorry, I changed my mind.
Working out, mate.
See you later.
Do what you got to do.
No, but this week's I just thought was not a good follow-up at all. Okay. And I do worry about... Because to me, I think that a lot of the mindset and a lot of the excitement behind the wrestling, it was almost like, it's WWE week, is it? Even though AEW is like a different promotion.
Yeah.
Like people just, I swear, like people, to the common denominator, people see AEW as WWE, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
WWE week.
I knew a man in the gym, not old, but like in his 50s, and I was in my 20s at the time. He swore blind that TNA was... Vince McMahon's, he's got to be, he won't let Kurt Angle go, he won't let Jeff Hardy go, no way, it's got
to
be a McMahon.
Maybe he was onto something.
Maybe he was, but to your point, like people, I think, just see wrestling as
WWE. Because they've done such an excellent job of branding
professional
wrestling or sports entertainment as themselves.
Yeah.
So, and they've done a good job of taking away the drawing ability. And it's, you could say, is it a pro or is it a con, right? Because WWE is pop. I believe WWE is pop culture now.
Yeah.
And I believe it will always be around because of that very fact.
Sure.
Right? The same way for mixed martial arts, UFC. When you talk about... No one uses the words... Not many people on the street use the words MMA, right?
No, I guess
it's
not.
It's a UFC.
Yeah.
Right?
But they're not really... Like, if we... A lot of people just say wrestling, don't they, as opposed to WWE?
Yeah, but like if you say wrestling, they're like, what, like that WWE stuff?
Yeah, they do.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you have to go,
oh, no. They either say like WWE or like boxing.
Yeah.
I think the answer to like WWE is like yes.
Yeah.
Because I think when they're
saying, of course,
like,
yeah.
Because they're like, you know, because they're saying like, is it like amateur?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think people thought it was going to be a big boom being on Fox, like back to the glory days. But like, I think the reality of the situation is... And I think the first week they didn't create any. Like, so if they'd had those angles, right? So those angles were great, right? With outsiders, sure. But if they'd had some killer stuff with people that people don't know,
mm-hmm.
but people were watching for The Rock and then all of a sudden Shorty gets Shorty Gable. All of a sudden Chad Gable turns up and has a killer match, and we build Chad Gable as like,
yeah,
you know, this wrestling machine, the new Kurt Angle
almost, yeah.
Right. If we'd done that, then all of a sudden people might be interested in Kurt Angle, in Chad Gable.
Yeah,
no?
yeah.
But I just feel that, you know, I feel like it was a missed opportunity there.
Okay.
And I think last week wasn't very good. And I do worry that it's just going to be the same. You know, it's just not that worry. I don't worry at all.
You don't lay up at night, do you? Yeah,
no, and I'm not like, oh, Vince, like, sorry to report. But like, but yeah, I would love for there to be a boom. Like, I'd love for everything to suddenly explode, and I'd love for this Wednesday Night War thing to suddenly catch the imagination of the people. And what would be interesting as well, and who knows, because obviously AEW's ratings went down last week, but who knows, what if AEW suddenly started competing in terms of ratings with Raw?
Yeah, of course.
That'd be interesting to see how Vince reacted to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's all very interesting stuff, which I think is still to come. So I think we're in a very interesting time for professional wrestling, which makes it a very good time to do a professional wrestling podcast. Like,
there you go.
The one we're doing right now.
A broad podcast.
Yeah. So,
We're going to talk about... Now we're back. We're going to talk about modern wrestling, old wrestling. We've still got the other half of the scrapbook to get through.
Plenty of pages in that scrapbook to get through.
Yeah, plenty of stories, of scandals.
lots of stories about the old days to tell. Lots of stories about the new days to tell. Mm-hmm. Not the new day.
New day.
But
yeah.
The current modern day,
sure,
to tell. And as we said, like, stuff just happens on a regular basis. Like, just... Mm-hmm. A day in our life.
Yeah.
You know.
We don't know if bloody Goldust is going to walk into training tonight, do we?
We don't. And it could happen.
Could happen.
So make sure you're at the Portsmouth School of Wrestling.
To find out.
Hey, and on that note as well, we haven't discussed this, but like the meeting I had just earlier.
Yeah.
So it was about, like, it was boring stuff. But by the end of it, the lady was like, oh, you should come in and do talks at schools. I'm going to set it up.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm inspirational.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
So...
You might be inspirational, but are you motivational?
I believe I could be to the right people.
Okay.
So, The Apprentice is back as well. We probably should start doing a weekly rundown of that.
Yeah, sure, I'd love that. Yeah.
So, well, I love it.
No, well, I love The Apprentice, but...
What are your thoughts on the first 2 weeks?
I've only seen the first week.
Oh, get out.
That
of
was
town.
When I had my bad back, so I was literally crippled on the...
GTFO.
So.
And we all know what that means.
Yeah.
A Quilden at AQUILDAN. That's my Twitter handle and my Instagram handle.
Okay, and I'm at Boy Simmons on Twitter. At BOY.
Can't even spell it, so that's the end of his plug.
BOYSIMMONZ and on Instagram, BOYSIMMONZ 1984.
Can I throw a shout out to one of our most enterprising students as well?
Go on,
Curtis Chapman.
Why?
He's got a special limited edition angry emoji badge.
Yep.
Do you know how much it costs?
Tell me.
£50.
Bargain.
Only available online, not available anywhere else. So if you want a Curtis Chapman angry emoji badge, £50.
He may have them for sale this Saturday.
He won't.
At a discounted rate, Curtis?
No.
No? Okay, suit yourself.
They're not on sale. They're not physically at shows anymore. They're only available online.
Okay, Curtis, can you let me know how many have you sold? Enough, he says.
Don't worry about it. No problem.
Okay. He was flashing some cash around earlier, actually, so...
Yeah, because he's got this newfound internet success.
Yeah. He's got more followers on Twitter than me, so if we could do one thing and make that happen... Swing it the other way, I mean.
We need to start by you getting your Twitter handle right, don't we?
BOYSIMMONZ. And I just want to quickly plug, we do have a wrestling show this Saturday.
Well, that relies on us getting this podcast out on time, doesn't it?
We are returning to the Buckland Community Centre at 7:30 p.m. Andy Boy Simmons is on the card. Hikaleo is on the card. Rev Pro Tag Team Champion, the Grey O'Khan, is on the card. Curtis Chapman and Dan McGee looking to bounce back from their loss at the 1865 Club in Southampton. Tickets available from revolutionprowrestling.com or directly from the Buckland Community Centre.
Probably go to the website, though.
Yeah, okay. Either or.
Well, especially if you're listening online, it's easier, isn't it? You can just
do it there and then.
You just literally pull up your phone,
yep,
just key it in, revolutionprowrestling.com, look at the list of events, choose one at Buckland Community Centre this Saturday, mm-hmm, click buy tickets, takes you through to the ticket page, add to your cart, enter your payment details, all secure, jobs are good, and purchase, buy,
attend.
And attend.
Yep.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
Okay, so So please feel free to do that. Check out revolutionprowrestling.com for all the upcoming events from Revolution Pro Wrestling. It's a very exciting time.
It's good to be back, isn't it? How long are we going? It's an hour and 15.
An hour and 15 minutes. We've not even spoken about anything of substance. Well, I tried to add that bit about wrestling at the end just to try and add a bit of wrestling substance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because after all, it says wrestling on the marquee, pal.
That's right.
And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Okay, goodbye. Thanks for listening.
Laters.
Bye.